he noted, smiling at me from under the little bit of afghan I'd left him. If we're going to do this again, there'll have to be some ground rules. This won't be happening again. This was in response to a terrible movie you inflicted on both of us. No more nooking, I stated firmly, wondering how dreadful my morning breath was. I cupped my hand in front of my face, breathed, and gave a quick sniff. Roses? He asked. Obviously. I smirked. I looked at him, exquisitely rumpled and in my bed. He smiled that smile, and I sighed. I allowed myself a moment to indulge in a fantasy where I was then quickly flipped and ravaged to within an inch of my life, but I wisely got control of my inner whore.
What if you get scared tonight?
He asked as I sat up and stretched. I won't, I threw back over my shoulder.
What if I get scared?
Grow up, pretty boy. Let's make coffee, and then I have to get to work. I whacked him with my pillow. He slid out from under the afghan, taking care to fold it, and carried it with him into the kitchen where he set it gently on the table. I smiled, thinking of him saying my name in the night. What I wouldn't give to know what was running through his mind. We moved about the kitchen with quiet economy, grinding beans, measuring coffee, pouring water. I put the sugar and cream on the counter while he peeled and sliced a banana. I poured granola. He milked and bananaed the bowls for us. Within a few minutes, we were seated next to each other on bar stools, eating breakfast as though we'd been doing so for years. Our simple ease intrigued me and worried me. Plans for the day? I asked, digging into my bowl.
I need to stop by the Chronicle office.
Are you working on something for the paper? I asked, surprised at the level of interest even I could hear in my voice. Would he be in town for a while? Why did I care?
Oh, boy. I'm spending a few days on a piece about quick getaways in the Bay Area. Weekend drives kind of thing,
he answered through a mouthful of banana. When are you going to do that? I asked, examining the raisins in my bowl and trying not to look too interested in his answer.
Next week, I leave on Tuesday,
he replied, and my stomach was instantly queasy. Next week we were supposed to go to Tahoe. Why the hell did my stomach care so much that he wouldn't be going? I see, I added, again fascinated by the raisins.
But I'll be back before Tahoe. I was planning on just driving straight there when I finish my shoot,
he said, looking at me over the rim of his coffee mug. Oh, well, that's good, I answered quietly, my stomach now bouncing all around.
When are you headed up, anyway?
He asked, seeming to now be studying his own bowl. The girls are driving up with Neil and Ryan on Thursday, but I have to stay in the city to work until at least noon on Friday. I'm going to rent a car and drive up that afternoon.
Don't rent a car.
I'll swing through and pick you up, he offered, and I nodded without a word. That settled, we finished our breakfast and watched Clive chase a stray piece of fluff around the table over and over again. We didn't talk much, but whenever we met each other's eyes, we both grinned. Text between Mimi and Sophia.
Did you know Caroline is working with James?
James who?
James Brown, obviously. Who else?
No. What the hell?
Remember she mentioned she had a new client? She neglected to mention who he was.
I'm gonna kick her ass when I see her next. She better not cancel on Tahoe. Did Ryan tell you he was bringing his guitar?
Yep. He told me you wanted to have some kind of fucked up sing-along.
He did? Ha ha. I just thought it would be fun. Text between Neil and Mimi.
Hey, Tiny. Are we still bowling with Sophia and Ryan tonight?
Yep. And you better bring your A game. Sophia and I are pretty severe.
Sophia knows how to bowl? Wow.
Why is that wow?
I just wouldn't have expected her to bowl is all. See you tonight.
Text between Neil and Simon.
You still planning on heading up with us this weekend?
Yep, but I'm coming a little late. Have a shoot.
When are you coming up?
Friday night sometime, stopping through the city on my way.
Why the hell are you going back into the city? You're doing that shoot in Carmel, right?
I just need to pick up some shit for the weekend.
Dude, pack your shit and get your ass to Tahoe.
I will, but I'm picking up Caroline.
I see.
You see nothing.
I see everything. You sure about that, big boy?
What about Sophia?
Sophia? Why is everyone asking me about Sophia?
See you in Tahoe.
Text between Mimi and Caroline.
You have some splainin' to do, Lucy.
Oh, no. I hate it when you go Ricardo on me. What the hell did I do?
Explain to me why you didn't tell me about your new client. Caroline, don't ignore my text. Caroline!
Oh, settle down. This is exactly why I did not tell you.
Caroline Reynolds, this is news that obviously I should have known about.
Look, I can handle it, okay? He's my client, nothing more. He's going to spend an obscene amount of money on this project.
I frankly don't care how much he's spending. I don't want you working with him.
Listen to yourself. I will take on whatever new client I damn well please. I have this under control.
We'll see. Did I hear a rumor that you're driving up to Tahoe with Wallbanger?
Wow. Subject change.
Yes, I am. Good. Take the long way.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Mimi? You there?
Damn you, Mimi.
Hello?
Text between Caroline and Simon.
Wallbanger. Come in, Wallbanger.
Wallbanger isn't here, only the exorcist.
Not even a little bit funny.
What's up?
What time are you picking me up tomorrow?
I should be back in the city by noon. If you can knock off work, we can beat rush hour.
Already told Jillian I'm taking a half day. Where are you right now?
In Carmel, on a cliff overlooking the ocean.
Boy, are you a closet romantic.
I'm a photographer. We go where the money shot is.
Oh, man, we're not discussing money shots.
Besides, I thought you were the romantic one.
I told you, I'm a practical romantic.
Well, then, practically speaking, even you would appreciate this sight. Waves crashing, sun setting. It's nice.
Are you alone?
Yep.
Bet you wish you weren't.
You have no idea. You old softy. There's nothing soft about me, Caroline.
And we're back.
Caroline?
Yep.
See you tomorrow.
Yep.
Text between Caroline and Sophia.
Can you give me the address again to the house so I can plug it into the GPS tomorrow?
No.
No?
Not until you tell me why you're hiding James Brown.
Jesus, it's like having two more mothers.
This isn't about sitting up straight or eating more vegetables. But we do need to have a conversation about your posture.
Unbelievable.
Seriously, Caroline, we just worry.
Seriously, Sophia, I know. Address, please?
Let me think about it.
Not gonna ask you again.
Yes, you will. You want to see Simon in that hot tub. Don't lie.
I hate you. Text between Simon and Caroline.
You done with work?
Yep, at home, waiting for you.
Now that's a nice visual.
Prepare yourself. I'm taking bread out of the oven.
Don't tease me, woman. Zucchini?
Cranberry orange.
No woman has ever done breakfast bread foreplay the way you do.
Ha! When are you coming?
Can't text straight.
Can we have one conversation where you're not 12?
Sorry, I'll be there in 30.
Perfect. That will give me time to frost my buns.
Pardon me?
Oh, I didn't tell you. I also made cinnamon rolls.
Be there in 25.
I'm not listening to this.
Like hell, it's my car. Driver picks music.
Actually, you're wrong about that. The passenger always picks music. It's what you get when you give up driving privileges.
Caroline, you don't even own a car, so how could you ever have driving privileges?
Exactly. So we listen to what I pick, I chided. I hit the iPod and scrolled until I found something that I thought would please us both.
Good song,
he admitted, and we hummed along. The trip had been great so far. When I first met him, heard him, I never would have predicted it. But Simon was quickly turning into one of my favorite people. I'd been wrong about him. I glanced at him, humming along to the song, drumming his thumbs on the steering wheel. As he was concentrating on the road, I took the opportunity to catalog some of his more swoon-worthy features.
Jaw? Strong.
Hair?
Dark and messy.
Stubble?
About 2 days' worth and nice.
Lips? Lickable, but lonely-looking. Maybe I could check them out, do my own little tongue inspection. I sat on my hands to stop myself from launching over the console. He continued to hum and drum.
What's going on over there, nighty girl? You look a little flushed. Need some more air?
He started for the air conditioner. Nope, I'm good, I answered, my voice sounding ridiculous. He looked at me strangely, but resumed his humdrum.
I think it's time we broke out that cranberry orange bread. Hit me,
he said a moment later, as I was indulging in a fantasy about how exactly I could maneuver myself into his lap while still maintaining a good highway speed. I'm on it, I hollered, diving into the back seat and surprising us both. I had my legs in the air and my bottom on display as I clasped my upside-down face in my hands behind the seat. I could feel how red my cheeks were, and I gave myself a little slap to snap me back into this world.
That is one sweet ass, my friend.
He sighed, leaning his head on it as though it were a pillow. Hey, ass man, pay attention to the road and not my hiney, or no bread for you. I gave his head a bump with my bum and sent myself flailing as he took a turn.
Caroline, you need to control yourself back there, or I'm pulling over.
Oh, zip it. Here's your damn bread, I snapped, crawling back into my chair in a graceless way and throwing the bread at him.
What the hell? Don't throw this.
What if you'd bruised it? He cried, gently stroking the foil-wrapped loaf.
I worry about you, Simon. I really do. I laughed,
watching him struggle to open the end of the wrapper. You want me to cut you a piece?
Okay, or you could just do that.
I frowned as he took a giant bite out of the end.
This is mine, right?
he asked, spraying crumbs. "How do you function in normal society?" I asked, shaking my head as he took another monster bite. He just smiled and continued, eating the entire loaf in less than 5 minutes. "You're going to be so sick tonight. That's meant to be eaten piece by piece, not ingested whole," I said. His only response was to burp loudly and pat his tummy. I couldn't help but laugh. "You're one twisted man, Simon," I chuckled.
"You're still intrigued, though, aren't you?"
He grinned, turning the blue eyes loose on me. My panties actually disintegrated. "Oddly, yes," I admitted, feeling my face flame again.
"I know."
He smirked, and we drove on. Okay, the turn should be coming up just around this corner. "I remember that house," I cried, bouncing in my seat. It had been a while since I was up here, and I'd forgotten how beautiful it was. I loved Tahoe in the summertime, all the water sports and everything. But in autumn was beautiful.
"Thank God, I need to pee," Simon groaned, as he'd been doing for the past 20 or so miles.
"That's your own fault for drinking that big gulp," I admonished, still bouncing away.
"Wow, is that it?"
he asked as we turned into the drive. Lanterns lit the way to a sprawling 2-story cedar house with a giant stone chimney up the left side. Cars were already in the driveway, and I could hear the music spilling out from the back deck.
"Sounds like our friends have already got their party on," Simon observed.
Squealing and laughter joined the music coming from the back side of the house.
"Oh, I don't doubt it. My guess is they've been drinking since dinner and are half naked in the hot tub by now."
I walked around back to grab my bag.
"We'll just have to catch up now, won't we?"
He winked, pulling a bottle of Galliano from his bag.
"I thought we could make some wall bangers."
Now isn't that interesting? I was thinking the same thing, I countered, pulling an identical bottle from my duffel.
"I knew you were dying to get me inside you, Caroline."
He chuckled and grabbed my bag as we headed to the door.
"Please.
You would make up a drink and call it a pink nighty just to have me in your mouth, and don't even try to lie," I taunted, nudging him with my shoulder. He stopped midway up the walk and looked at me fiercely.
"Is that an invitation? 'Cause I'm a hell of a bartender," he stated,
his eyes glowing in the darkness. "I've no doubt," I breathed, the space between us now crackling with tension that was becoming ridiculously hard to ignore. I took a deep breath and noticed he did as well.
"Come on, let's get sauced and start this weekend."
He chuckled, nudging me with his shoulder and breaking the spell.
"Sauce away," I muttered, walking up the path behind him.
Finding the front door open, Simon stashed our bags, and we made our way through the house to the back deck. There, the lake spread out before us, just barely lit by the tiki torches dotting the dock and pathways that led to the shore. The entire back of the house was flanked with brick patios and decks, and that's where we found our friends.
"Caroline!" Mimi screeched from the hot tub, where she and Ryan were splashing each other.
Ah, we'd made it to Drunky Loud already.
"Mimi!"
I squealed back, looking around for Sophia. She and Neil were perched on the stone bench by the fire pit, roasting marshmallows. They both waved merrily, and Neil gestured obscenely with his stick.
"Making them see the error of their ways might be easier than we thought, fellow matchmaker," I whispered to Simon, who was already mixing a cocktail at the patio bar.
"You think it's going to be that easy?"
he whispered back, giving his friends the international guy head nod that said, "What's up, man?"
"Hell yes. They're almost already there without our help. All we have to do is show them what's right in front of them."
He handed me a cocktail.
"So, how am I?"
he asked, winking. "Is this a wall banger?"
"It is."
I took a sip, swirling the taste around my mouth and over my tongue.
"You're as good as I knew you'd be," I whispered, taking a dangerously large swallow.
"To things staring you right in the face," he added,
clinking my glass and taking his own large gulp. "To things staring you right in the face," I echoed, our eyes locking over the rims. "Damn banger voodoo." Chapter 12.
"Whose foot is that?"
"It's mine, Neil. Quit rubbing it."
"Dude, quit trying to play footsie with me, Ryan."
"You're the one still holding my foot."
Ryan and Neil tried to look nonchalant as they disengaged from their footsie session under the bubbling water. I laughed as I caught Simon's eye across the hot tub, and he grinned back at me.
"Want another?"
he mouthed, nodding to my empty glass. "I have had enough for tonight, don't you think?" I mouthed back, as our friends cackled all around us.
"I thought you were the girl who always wanted more," he said.
The characteristic smirk returned. I looked at him. The image of Hot Tub Simon that had been in my head for the last few weeks actually paling in comparison to the real thing. Strong arms stretched across the back of the hot tub, hair wet and artfully swept back. If I thought seeing him wet and half-naked on my kitchen floor was enticing, it was nothing like having him backlit by tiki torches and seen through a strong buzz. He was now the most singularly handsome man I'd ever seen. And if I wasn't mistaken, he was trying to get me drunk. Brain was getting a bit fuzzy. Heart was beginning to sing Etta James songs.
"Are you trying to get me drunk?" I asked, giggling as I pushed my empty glass away, resolving myself to no more alcohol.
"Nope. A sloppy pink nighty girl gets me nowhere."
He grinned as I splashed water toward his side. Our friends had all quieted and were watching us with undisguised interest. After Simon and I had arrived, we got our drinks, and then I showed him around the rest of the house. I left my bags at the front door, not knowing how the sleeping arrangements had been laid out. We returned to the patio to find that Sophia and Neil had joined Ryan and Drunky Mimi in the hot tub. A quick trip to the pool house left me in nothing but a dark green bikini and a smile as I approached the others. Simon had already jumped in, and I watched him watch me. As I slid under the warm water, I sipped my cocktail and drank in the sight of my neighbor, wet and in board shorts, before me. Sophia actually had to nudge me to stop the staring. Now we were smack dab in the middle of a sexual soup, bubbling away with two pairs of mismatched lovers and more pheromones than we knew what to do with.
So, did I want another cocktail?
Didn't matter. I couldn't afford it. I had to shake my head a little to clear it as I looked around at the rest of the group. Mimi had gotten too hot and was perched on the side, kicking Neil as she swung her feet back and forth. He indulged her in much the same way a big brother indulges his little sister.
Sophia and Ryan were huddled on the other side, Sophia scratching Ryan's back as she and Neil talked back and forth about the 49ers' starting lineup, or defensive line, or something footballish and, frankly, boring.
"So, what are we doing this weekend?" I asked, focusing my attention on the group at large and not the blue eyes staring at me. Damn those eyes. They would be the death of me.
"We were thinking about going for a hike tomorrow. Who's in?" Ryan asked.
Sophia shook her head.
"Count me out. No way am I hiking."
"Why not?" Neil asked.
Simon and I exchanged a quick glance at his sudden interest.
"Can't. Last time I hiked, I took quite a spill and sprained my wrist."
"Can't take the chance during the season," she said, waving and reminding us she made her living with her hands.
As a cello player, she could get out of quite a bit. Once she dodged hand jobs all winter.
Investment banker Bob was not a happy camper. "How about you, Tiny?"
Neil pulled on Mimi's foot.
No, Mimi doesn't hike," she replied, adjusting her barely there black bikini.
Her actual boy toy didn't notice, but I saw Ryan's eyes grow to the size of pies from across the hot tub as her breasts were nearly revealed.
"You gonna take a pass as well?"
Simon nodded to me.
"Hell no! I'm hiking with the boys tomorrow."
I laughed as Sophia and Mimi rolled their eyes. They never understood why I loved mountain man activities, as they called them.
"Nice," Simon purred.
And for a second, I calculated the distance between my mouth and his. Then we were all quiet, all six of us lost in our thoughts. I remembered the plan to out the four of them, and I jumped right in.
"So, Ryan, did you know Mimi here gives to your charity every year?" I asked, surprising them both.
"You do?"
"Yep, every year," she said. "I've seen what having access to computers can do, especially for kids who wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity." She looked shyly at him, and they began a conversation about the process he used to determine which schools will receive the scholarships each year. Simon and I grinned at each other. Looking sideways at Sophia, Simon launched the second wave of the attack.
"Hey, Neil, how many seats did you get for the symphony this year?" he asked.
Neil blushed.
"You bought tickets?" Sophia asked.
"Season tickets," Simon added as Neil nodded.
Sophia and Neil then launched into a discussion of where his seats were, and Simon raised his foot above the surface of the water.
"Come on, don't leave me hanging."
"What?"
"Give me a little high five. I can't reach your hand," he insisted, waving his foot back and forth.
I giggled and slid lower on my seat, stretching my foot out and patting his lightly.
"Ugh, pruny."
He laughed.
"I'll give you pruny," I warned, dipping my foot and splashing him lightly.
I could not be more comfortable. Seriously, I literally could not feel more cozy right now if I were actually inside a marshmallow.
I mumbled through a thick tongue coated in Bailey's and coffee. I had curled up on top of about 50 pillows next to the fireplace, a fireplace with a hearth almost 10 feet wide and a chimney almost 3 stories high. Made out of stone quarried nearby, it was massive. It was the focal point of the entire house, with rooms radiating out from its center, and it gave off massive heat. We were chilled to the bone when we finally made it back inside. One by one, we all got too warm in the hot tub,
so we hoisted ourselves out to cool off a little. By the time we realized how cold the night had gotten, we were shivering and puffing and wanting nothing more than to curl up next to the fire. As we had yet to pick rooms, I soon learned, the girls snuck into the master bedroom to change into our PJs and rejoin the boys, who were now all decked out in T-shirts and pajama pants. We made a quick pot of coffee, and I sliced up some of the additional cranberry orange bread I'd wisely hidden from Simon. A couple of shots of Bailey's in the coffee cups, and we were all relaxing by the fire like an ad for Courier and Ives. Simon had reclined regally by the fireplace and patted the stack of pillows next to him. I dove in, and a few stray puffs of feathers swirled around our heads. We'd discovered that each boy had a different method of starting a fire. Kindling, newspapers, kindling and newspapers. When finally Sophia stuck her head up there and declared that the flue was still closed. Brought back down a few pegs, the guys at that point deferred to Ryan, if for no other reason than that he was the one holding the matches. But within minutes, they had a fire blazing, and we were now all seated around the fireplace, sleepy and content. I breathed deeply. There was nothing like the smell of an actual fire. Not a gas fireplace, not a bunch of candles, but an honest-to-goodness fireplace with snaps and crackles and funny little whizzing screeches when the steam came out of a crack in the wood.
"So, Caroline, have you asked Simon to teach you how to windsurf yet?" Mimi asked suddenly from her perch on the arm of the couch. We'd been quiet for a while, drowsy and almost dreaming, and I started a little when she spoke.
"What? I mean, what?"
I asked, startled out of my pillows and back to the present. "Well, these boys here all windsurf. You want to learn to windsurf, and I bet Simon here would show you, wouldn't you, Simon?" She giggled, polishing off the last of her coffee and sliding off the arm of the chair into Ryan's conveniently placed lap. They smiled at each other for a moment before they realized what they were doing, and Ryan jokingly launched her off his own lap and into Neil's. He'd not been awakened by her earlier question, but he now seemed wide awake with a lapful of scheming Mimi.
"You want to learn to windsurf?" Simon asked, turning toward my pillow pile.
"Actually, yes. I've always wanted to try it."
"It's tough, not gonna lie, but totally worth it."
He smiled, and Ryan nodded from across the room.
"Sure, Simon'll show you. He'd love to,"
Ryan chimed in, earning a wink from Mimi and an eye roll from me. "We can plan something for when we get back to the city," I suggested.
"No more talk tonight. This girl has had it," Sophia said. "I'm pooped. Where are we all sleeping?"
She poked her head over the back of the armchair where she'd been curled up.
"Well, how many rooms we talking about?"
Simon asked as I sat up and yawned.
"There are 4 bedrooms, so take your pick,"
Sophia answered, then wisely drained an entire bottle of water.
"Are we doing boy-girl, boy-girl?"
I asked, laughing when I saw Simon's surprised face.
"We can, sure,"
Mimi answered, looking a little nervously at Neil. I stifled a giggle when I saw Sophia and Ryan trade a similar spooked look. Simon caught it as well.
"Yeah, sure. Don't let Caroline and me stand in the way of the lovebirds. Mimi, you and Neil pick a room, Sophia and Ryan can pick a room, and Caroline and I will take the rooms that are left over. Perfect. Right, Caroline?"
"Sounds perfect to me. I'll just rinse out these mugs. Now off to bed with you all. Scoot, scoot," I cried. Simon and I scurried about cleaning up
while sneaking peeks over our shoulders at the four of them. They looked like they'd just begun a death march. Oh, man, I hope this works out, for my sake.
I stood behind Simon as we watched the four become two pairs as they parted ways by the bedroom doors.
"Why for your sake?" he whispered, turning his face just a little to be inches from mine.
"Because right now, behind those doors, Sophia and Mimi are trying to figure out the best way to hurt me. Physically hurt me," I sighed, backing away to rinse the last of the coffee cups and place them in the dishwasher. Simon added the soap, switched it on, then he went to bank the fire. As we walked around, turning lights off for the night, we talked about the hike we'd be taking tomorrow.
"So you're not going to slow me down, are you?"
he teased. I shoved him into the wall.
"Please. You'll be eating my trail dust tomorrow, bucko," I warned,
grabbing my bag and heading for the bedrooms.
"We'll see, nighty girl. Speaking of, got any nighties in there for me?"
He poked his hand into my bag as he followed me down the hall.
"Stay out of there. Nothing for you in there, or anywhere for that matter."
I stopped at the room I was taking. He went past me to the room next door.
"Look at that. Sharing a bedroom wall once again."
He smirked. "Well, I know you're in there alone, so I'd better not hear any banging," I warned, leaning in the doorway.
No banging. "Night, Caroline," he said softly, leaning in his own doorway.
"Night, Simon," I answered, giving him a little waggle of my fingertips as I closed my door. I placed my bag on my bed and smiled.
"Come on, guys, not that much farther," I yelled behind me as I surged up the final leg of the trail.
We'd been hiking for about 2 hours now, and while everyone stayed together for a while, in the last 30 minutes or so, Ryan had slowed considerably, and Neil hung back with him. Simon and I kept the pace together, and were about to reach the crest of the trail. I'd managed to avoid being alone with Sophia or Mimi, although the puffy eyes and tired faces on all four of them proved no one had gotten a good night's sleep. Except Simon and me. After breakfast, I dodged the firing squad by changing quickly and waiting outside for the boys before the hike. I knew once I returned to the house, I'd be in for it, although I admit I was curious to see how they were planning to rage without acknowledging that sleeping with the guys they'd been seeing for weeks now was not, in fact, what they wanted to do. But as Simon had said, "Here's to things staring you in the face. Tonight should be interesting." I pushed up and over the last little ridge and made it to the top. Simon was only a few yards behind me, and I could hear him on his way. I breathed deep, the clear air prickling at my lungs. It was chilly, but I was warm with exertion. It had been a while since I'd gotten out of the city, and my body had missed hiking like this. My legs were burning, my nose was running, I was sweating like a pig, and I couldn't remember when I'd felt better. I laughed out loud as I looked down at the lake below, spying a few hawks gliding on a downdraft. The steely blue of the lake, the deep green of the forest, the clean whites and creams of the rocks. It was beautiful. And then there was my new favorite blue. Simon appeared at my side, breathing as deeply as I was. He stretched his arms wide and took in the valley below. He'd peeled off layers as we climbed and was now wearing a white T-shirt with a flannel knotted at his waist.
Khaki shorts, hiking boots, and a wide grin completed the wet dream I now stared at instead of looking at the natural wonders all around us. And those blue eyes, I could see them framing each shot as he looked around. "Beautiful," I breathed, and he turned to me. I got caught staring. "Isn't it beautiful?" I stuttered, gesturing widely with my arm. He appeared to know exactly what I'd been doing, and I felt the blush come up in my cheeks. Luckily, I was still a bit winded from the climb, and I hoped I was already sufficiently red.
"Yes, it is beautiful, actually. Very beautiful."
He smiled, and we stared at each other. He took a few steps closer, and I felt the air shift and change. I bit my lip. He ran his hand through his hair. We smiled. There were no words, but even the woodland animals could tell there was something about to happen, and wisely stayed in their hidey holes.
"Hi," he said quietly.
"Hi," I answered.
"Hi," he said again,
taking one last step toward me and stepping into my little circle. One more step, and he'd be practically on top of me.
And how?
"Hi," I said once more, tilting my head to the side and letting him know he could take that last step. Simon leaned toward me, just barely, but almost as if he were going to...
"Parker!"
thundered from below, and we both sprang back.
"Parker!"
It came again, and I recognized Ryan's voice underneath the Jungle Man yell.
"Ryan!"
we both said, and smiled. Now that the voodoo wasn't so concentrated, I could see things clearly again, and I repeated the word harem over and over again in my head.
"Up here!"
Simon yelled, and Ryan appeared from around the bend.
"Hey there, Neil is done. Kaput, thrown in the towel, so to speak. You guys about ready to head back down?" he called,
jumping from rock to path to rock again with the ease of a mountain goat. He didn't even appear to be winded.
"Yep,
we were just about to come looking for you guys," I said, kicking my leg up behind me for a quick stretch.
"Is he really pussing out so close to the top?" Simon asked,
heading back down the trail.
"He's lying straight across the trail like he owns the place, refusing to go any higher."
Ryan laughed, bounding ahead and calling down to Neil to let him know we were on our way.
"You sure you didn't want to stay up here a little longer? We worked so hard to get all the way here,"
Simon asked, reaching out to stop me running down the mountain after Ryan. I felt the warmth of his hand on my shoulder and willed my hormones to flee to the other side of my body.
"I'm sure. We should get back. Looks like a storm is coming."
I nodded toward the horizon where a group of dark clouds had begun to build. His eyes followed mine, and he frowned.
"You're probably right. We don't want to get caught out here all alone," he muttered.
"Besides, if we don't hurry, we can't tease Neil about getting beat up the mountain by a girl." I grinned, and he laughed loudly.
"Hell, we don't want to miss that. Let's go."
And down the trail we went. "So, how was your gangbang, Caroline?" Sophia sang sweetly as she found us all in the kitchen drinking water after our hike. The three guys each did a spit take, but I calmly continued sipping like a lady.
"Fantastic, thanks,"
Neil especially. We practically had to carry him back down the mountain after I finished with him, I replied just as sweetly. The boys recovered their game faces, but Neil could barely stop staring at Sophia's tight tank top. Her actual suitor? Playing Spot the Mimi, his head rotating so fast I could have sworn he was an owl. I shook my head and put him out of his misery. "Where's Mimi?" I asked.
"Shower, which you four clearly need. It's freezing outside. How could you have gotten so sweaty?" she asked, wrinkling her nose. "We worked hard making it up that mountain. Hiking is harder than you think,"
Neil puffed, and the rest of us wisely kept silent about the heart attack he almost had 50 feet from the summit. I grabbed an apple and headed in the direction of my room, with Sophia hot on my tail, as expected. I smirked a little and contemplated going easy on her, just asking her about it, giving her an out.
"Those shorts look terrible on you, Caroline," she remarked as she followed me into my room. "Nope, not going to happen. No easy out."
"Thank you, dear. Should I have packed a little cat food for you when I packed Clive's travel bag?" I sneered. She collapsed on my bed, curling her body around one of the giant pillows.
"Where is he, anyway? Who's watching him this weekend?"
"He's staying with Uncle Ewan and Uncle Antonio. That cat is lounging on a silk bed being hand-fed tuna rolls right about now.
He's living the life." "He has the life, that's for sure," she said,
her face clouding briefly as she got comfortable. I peeled off my sweaty clothes and wrapped up in a terrycloth robe hanging on the back of the door. She complimented my choice of sports bra and laughed when she saw that I'd paired it with leopard panties, but then she went back to her previous wistful expression. "What's up, Sophia?" I asked, lying on the bed next to her and wrapping myself around a pillow as well.
"Nothing. Why?" she asked.
"You look like a sad sack."
"Eh, I just didn't sleep well, I guess."
"Oh, really? Mr. Ryan keeping you up late at night, hmm? He didn't have a lot of energy on the mountain today." I nudged her with my elbow.
"No, no, nothing like that. I just couldn't get settled last night. Normally I sleep really well up here, but it was so quiet last night, I just..."
She beat her pillow a little with her fist, forcing it into a new shape.
"I see."
"Well, I slept great," I laughed, and she started trying to force my head into a new shape with her fist.
"You want to get drunk tonight?" she asked, when we finally settled down. "Hell yes. You?" "Yes, ma'am."
There was a knock at the door, and Mimi poked her towel-covered head in. "Is this a private session, or can a non-lesbian get into this bed?" she called. We waved her in, and she vaulted from the floor to the bed and landed on top of both of us. "What are we doing in here, ladies? Foreplay or just going for it?" she asked.
"Please say foreplay," a male voice said from the now open door.
We rolled over to see the men in the doorway. Different versions of the same, oh my goodness, girls in bed together look on their faces.
"Oh, get over yourselves, like we'd ever need a guy to tell us whether we needed foreplay or not."
Sophia giggled, kicking a foot in the air and waving at them from over my shoulder. They shifted their weight from one foot to the other and cleared their throats.
So predictable.
"We're planning on getting drunk tonight. You boys up for it?" Mimi yelled.
Even though no alcohol was currently present in her system, Drunky Mimi's volume level was already making an encore appearance.
Done and done, Ryan answered, giving us a weird little salute that made us giggle even harder.
Now run away, boys, and let us have our girl time,
Sophia tossed over her shoulder, lifting my robe a little and giving my ass a quick smack. I squealed and tried to cover myself, but it was too late.
Dude, leopard print,
Neil whispered to Simon in the kind of whisper that's actually louder than just speaking.
I know,
Simon countered, then drew his hand down his face as though he were trying to physically remove the image from his brain. Simon liked animal prints, duly noted.
Come on, guys. The ladies have requested a little alone time, so let's leave them to it.
Ryan tugged them out into the hallway and closed the door behind them with a wink that made Mimi's entire neck turn bright red. Sophia examined her fingernails. I was really going to have fun with these two tonight.
Where the hell did you learn to cook like this? Jesus, this is good,
Neil exclaimed, taking his third helping of paella from the giant pan in the center of the table. Thank you, Neil. I laughed as he dug into another pile of rice. Simon nodded toward my wine glass, and I nodded back. I'd thought about making a quick version of paella when I saw all the wonderful seafood on sale at the local market, and when I saw their special on Spanish rosé and cava. My plans came together. We'd started in on the cava while prepping in the kitchen. The sparkling Spanish wine went perfectly with the wedge of manchego I'd picked up, as well as the little salty olives. Once again, Simon was my helper, and we moved together in the kitchen. The other four settled on bar stools across from us while we cooked. Someone popped an old Otis Redding record on the ancient turntable, and we were in business. The wine flowed as freely as the conversation, and I could tell this had the potential to become a tight-knit group. Similar interests, similar senses of humor, but everything just different enough to keep it lively. Speaking of lively, as the alcohol was inhaled, the walls came down. Mimi and Sophia were barely hiding their misplaced interests anymore. Not that the boys were minding. In fact, they were encouraging it. Ryan currently examined Mimi's foot for what she insisted was a spider bite. The fact that he'd been inspecting it for several minutes and that said inspection included a calf massage did not escape my attention or Simon's. He grinned and motioned for me to move closer. I slid across the bench and inclined my head to his. He put his mouth next to my ear and I inhaled. Wine, heat, and actual sex ran straight up my nostrils and invaded my brain, turning everything a bit fuzzy.
How long before they kiss?
He whispered, his mouth so close I swear I felt his lips brush my ear. What? I asked, beginning to giggle the way I did when I'd had a little too much to drink and a little too much sexy dangled in front of me.
How long? You know, before they kiss the wrong person?
He asked as I turned to look into his eyes.
Those eyes. Oh, those eyes were now calling to me.
You mean the right person? I whispered.
Yeah, the right person,
he answered, scooting a little closer on the bench.
I don't know. But if the kiss doesn't come soon, I'm gonna burst,
I admitted, knowing full well I was no longer talking about our friends, and knowing full well that he knew full well I was no longer talking about our friends.
I wouldn't want you to burst.
He was now mere inches from my face.
Harem,
Harem, harem. I repeated this mantra over and over.
I want to go in the hot tub.
The whining pulled me away from the voodoo and back to the kitchen, where there were people present.
I want to go in the hot tub, I heard again, and turned to address Mimi.
Imagine my surprise when I saw that Sophia was actually the whiner, and she was now hanging on Neil like a backpack.
Okay, so go in the hot tub. No one's stopping you, I insisted, sliding away from Simon and back in front of my plate where I began separating my peas from my lobster.
I was full, but I would never leave lobster on the plate. I had standards, after all.
You have to come too, Sophia whined again as I began to comprehend.
Sophia was drunk.
Sophia got clingy when she got drunk.
Oh boy. Go ahead. I'll clean up the kitchen a little and then meet you guys out there, Simon said, taking my plate and starting to stand.
Hey, hey, hey! Lobster bite! Hello!
I protested as I grabbed my fork.
Here, I would never get between a woman and her lobster.
He smiled, offering me my fork back. I accepted the bite with a smile and stood up. I was a little more drunk than I thought, and this fact made itself known as gravity began to tease me.
Whoa there. You okay?
He asked, steadying me as Sophia started off for the bedroom.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine, I answered, planting my feet and winning the battle.
Maybe you ought to slow down,
he asked, taking my wine glass.
Oh, lighten up. It's a party, I cried, beginning to giggle.
Suddenly, everything was funny.
Okay, party on.
He smiled as I headed to the bedroom to change into my suit, which proved harder than I thought. String bikinis are difficult to tie when you're more than a little buzzed.
Okay, Caroline's next. Truth or dare? Mimi yelled, once again proving that drunky Mimi had only one volume level.
Truth, I yelled back, splashing Sophia in the face accidentally as I reached behind me for my glass of wine. We'd brought out the last bottle of cava and were steadily working our way through it. And it was steadily working its way through us, our game becoming more and more dangerous. The sky crackled a bit with faraway lightning, and low rumbles of thunder were just beginning to be heard over the giggling and splashing. Once we came outside and got settled in the hot tub, it was only minutes before Neil suggested a game of truth or dare, and only seconds after that before Sophia agreed to it. I laughed it off at first, saying there was no way I'd play such a childish game. But when Simon implied that I was chicken, the alcohol reared its ugly head and shouted something to the effect of, I will play truth or dare, you sucker, until you can't tell your truth from your dare. This statement made perfect sense in my head and must have seemed logical to Mimi and Sophia as well, as they immediately began offering me high fives and you go, girls. I'm pretty sure I saw Simon shake his head, but he was smiling, so I let it go, and poured another glass of sparkly.
Where's the one place you want to travel and haven't been yet? Sophia asked, humming along to the tunes coming through the French doors.
Sophia had found all of her grandfather's old records, and Simon almost had a fit when he saw the collection. He'd selected a Tommy Dorsey album, and the big band accentuated the night perfectly.
Boring! Make her take a dare, Simon sang, and I stuck my tongue out at him.
It's not boring, and she chose truth, so she gets truth.
Caroline, where is the one place on earth you want to go? She asked again.
I leaned my head back against the edge of the tub,
I looked up at the stars and an image immediately came to mind. Soft wind blowing, warm sun on my face, the ocean spread out in front of me, dotted with craggy rocks. I smiled just thinking about it. Spain, I sighed quietly, the smile lingering